I'm afraid we're not excited enough. Matthew 28 this morning. Brother Freddie tells the story about a fellow who was driving down the road, and he passed a very poor family walking down the side of the road. And as he got past them, he could see the little mother and the little children in his rearview mirror, and the Holy Spirit spoke to his heart and said, "I want you to turn around and go back and give that lady $50. And the guy said, "Lord, you know all I got's $50. And he drove on and fought against it, and the Holy Spirit just pressed on him harder till he finally got to the point that he had to turn around and go back and give the lady the $50. He drove off to leave, and he looked in his rearview mirror, and the little lady was standing in the middle of the street, clapping her hands, jumping up and down, and shouting, "Glory, glory, hallelujah." Yeah. Said the Holy Spirit spoke to his heart and said, "If you would have acted like that when I gave it to you, I'd have let you keep it." Yeah. Amen. Yeah. We ought to get happy every now and then over what he's done for us. Matthew chapter 28, we're going to read the story. I told Brother Charles this morning, I said, "Pray for me. I ain't got a message this morning. I just got a thought." Just a simple thought. But here's the message. It's a question. In Matthew chapter 28, look at verse number 1. The Bible said, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn," underline that phrase in your Bible, "as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and set upon it." The Bible said in verse 3, "His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified." I like that "was." Look at verse 6 very carefully. "He is not here." He was very emphatic about it. "He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay." Isn't it amazing how sometimes we can be told something, but we must see it? You ever made the statement, "I won't believe it till I see it"? Yeah. Amen. Can I make this statement to you? I've never seen him, but I've seen him. Yeah. Yeah. You got to know Christ as your Savior to understand that statement. Yeah, I've never physically laid eyes on him. But he has been magnified in my heart in such a way that I can have no doubt that he's alive. "He's not here," he said, "for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly, and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you." And they departed quickly from the sepulcher, and with fear and great joy did run to bring his disciples word. Verse 28, or chapter 28, verse number 1. Here's the message. The Bible said, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week." I want to look at that little phrase, "as it began to dawn." Here's the question. Just a simple thought, and we're going home. Here's the question. Has it dawned on you? Amen. Has it dawned on you? Imagine with me just for a minute, you're at the funeral home. Put your mind, I mean, just close your mind and go with me. We're at Jones Wynn Funeral Home. There is a casket laying there, and it's the first day of visitation before the funeral, the viewing. And in that casket lays the most important person in your life. The person who provides you with hope. The person who has provided you with comfort. The person who has provided you with encouragement and care. And your heart is broken. In your heart, you could never imagine that they would ever die. But there they lay. You go home, you cry yourself to sleep that night. Because you've actually, reality has set in. The one I loved and cared for more than anybody in the whole world is gone. I'll never see him again. You restlessly try to sleep through the night. You've got to be back to the funeral home tomorrow for the next day of visitation, and you get to the funeral home early, maybe before the crowd arrives, and you walk through the door and you go into the little viewing room where the body is, and you walk to the foot of the casket and your heart just drops to the pit of your stomach because the body is gone. What is your first thought? Your first thought is their first thought. In another account, you know what they said, Brother Freddie? Oh no! Where have they taken him? Their flesh and their minds could not conceive the fact that he did not, nobody came and took him away. They just could not get a grip on the fact that he literally got up and walked out. You would scream for the funeral director. The funeral director would come running and you would say, where is he? Where is he? He was here last night. Where is his body? And the funeral director says, calm down. I've got good news. This is not good news. No. You don't understand. We canceled the funeral. We've canceled the funeral. We've returned all the flowers. We're going to sell this casket as slightly used. We filled in the empty grave. And your mind is going, what? What are you talking about? And the funeral director says, you might want to sit down for this. I've been in the funeral business for 40 years and we've never had this happen. Yeah. Never, not one time. He's alive.
Yeah,
bro. He just got up last night and walked out the door. And before he left, he said, tell my family. Tell my family when they come. Woo! Tell my family when they come by tomorrow. I didn't stay dead. Hallelujah. You tell them I'm alive and I'm well and I'll meet them after a while. Hallelujah. Can I just say to you this morning?
Yes, brother.
It never has happened before. And it ain't never happened since. Just as sure as I'm standing before you this morning, he's alive. And he said, I'll meet you after a while. Are you listening? You see, the disciples had forgotten, Brother Freddie. You know what Thomas said? Thomas, one of the disciples, one that saw all the miracles. He saw him, witnessed him, probably raised Lazarus from the dead. They just couldn't get a grip. When Jesus met with the disciples, Thomas was somewhere else. And they went and told Thomas, said, Thomas, you ain't going to believe this. Guess who we've been talking to? He's alive.
Yeah, bro.
Thomas said, I don't believe it. Yeah. I won't believe it till I see him. Matter of fact, even seeing him ain't going to be enough for me. I want to touch the wounds in his hands and his side. I've got to be convinced. This morning I feel like as a pastor and as your pastor, it's my job to convince you or maybe even remind you this morning that though you can't see him, though you can't touch him, he is alive this morning. Hey, has it dawned on you? As Thomas came back and touched the wound, thrust his hand, Jesus said, Here, Thomas. Jesus didn't scold him. He said, Thomas, I understand. I walked in a human body too.
Yeah.
I know what it means.
Come on, preacher.
Here, Thomas, see where they thrust the sword in my side. Here, yeah. Put your hand right here, Thomas.
Amen, preacher.
And you know what happened? As Thomas stuck his hand under that robe and felt the wound, it dawned on him. It dawned on him, Brother Freddie, it's not a story. It's not just a holiday. It's real. He's really alive. Can you imagine how that blew their minds? Just as it would yours. If you went in the funeral home and your loved one was gone, and the funeral director said, he's alive. By the way, Jason, he is alive.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. By the way, Stacy, Miss Becky is alive.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
They're hanging out with him.
Yeah.
And all those others who have rose from the dead. Hallelujah. Because he is the resurrection. Has it dawned on you? Mary approached a gardener. I can just see him. Standing outside the tomb, maybe with a hood over his head. And she said, "Sir, can I bother you for just a second? 3 days ago, they brought my Savior over here, and they put him in this tomb, and they put a big stone over it, and couldn't nobody get to him. We just came to anoint his body with spices and ointments this morning, and he's gone. Do you know where he's at?" He took the hood back. He said, "Mary, it's me. Don't touch me. I hadn't yet ascended. But it's me. Go tell the boys. Go tell the boys that I'm not dead. Go tell the boys that I'm alive." And you know what she did? She didn't just saunter off. She wasn't kicking a can down the road. No, sir, she lit out like a bullet from a gun. Son, she ran. She said, "Come and see. Come and see. Come and see. He is alive. He is alive. He is alive."
Amen.
Let me ask you a question. Do you remember when he pulled the hood off for you?
Yeah. Amen.
You knew about him. Ain't a person under the sound of my breath that has never heard the resurrection story.
Amen.
If there he is, man, are you in for a treat?
Yes, Lord.
But there's nobody here this morning that's never heard that Jesus is alive.
That's right.
You've heard it all your life? I heard it all my life, Brother Freddie. Yes. When I was 19 years old, at a New Year's Eve party, I could tell you how to be saved. I could. I could take a Bible and lead you down the Romans Road and show you how to trust Christ as your Savior. But I had never done it myself.
Amen.
I knew about it. Watch this. I even believed it.
Amen.
Y'all okay?
Yeah.
I even believed it. But it never got real to me.
Amen,
that night, he pulled the hood off.
Yeah.
And it dawned on me.
Yeah,
in your daddy's front yard. In the wee hours of the morning, I wasn't talking to a gardener. Woo! It dawned on me. I wasn't talking to Brother Jay. It dawned on me that I was looking eyeball to eyeball, face to face with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the resurrected Savior. And right then and there, He saved my soul.
Amen.
But it'll never happen until it dawns on you.
Amen.
Till what dawns on me, preacher? That you're a sinner.
Amen.
In need of a Savior.
Amen.
Listen to me carefully. We say this all the time. How many of you believe in heaven? Well, raise your hand.
Amen, brother.
Now, if you could get there any other way, why did he go through this? Why not just bypass it? Hey, let's skip all the trouble and let's do it the ride a bicycle way. If there's another way, let's skip the crucifixion. Let's skip the suffering and the shame. Let's skip the crown of thorns and let's sell Watchtower magazine. If there's another way. If there is another way. Let's skip all this. Instead of me having to go through this, let's let them suffer. Tell them they got to strap bombs to themselves and blow people up. Y'all all right? But in reality, I hope it dawns on you this morning. There is no other way.
Amen, preacher. Yes, sir.
That's just as simple as she gets, friend. I had a guy tell me this week who took me to the airport. He said, I was raised a devout Catholic. I was an altar boy. You listening? Brother Mark Vanhoff, is he here this morning? He was the altar boy. He said, I was an altar boy. He said, when I married at our, what do you call the bridal shower, somebody gave us a family Bible. He said, and one day I just started thumbing through it. Brother Freddie, he said, honestly, he said, preacher, I was looking at the pictures. If you've ever looked at a family Bible, every few pages there's a real pretty picture. He said, and I was looking at the pictures. He said, and then I began to read. He said, that thing got interesting to me. He said, you know what I realized most? That priest that I've depended on all these years, and I promise you, statement out of his mouth, he said, it dawned on me that I didn't need him anymore. Y'all all right? He said, it dawned on me that my babies didn't need to be baptized when they were born. He said, it dawned on me. What I needed was a Savior. It wasn't the church that I needed. It wasn't the sacraments that I needed. Hallelujah. It wasn't the prayers that I needed. It was the Savior that I needed. He said, I didn't have a clue what I was doing. He said, but I just bowed my head and said, God, this is what I need. He said, and I knew right then and there the Lord came into my heart and saved me. Has it dawned on you that you're a sinner? You got on an Easter suit. Brother Robbie's wearing all white. White tie, white shirt, white coat, white pants, white shoes, and white socks, probably white drawers, I don't know. We didn't go that far. That white stands for purity. But what that white's doing is just covering up something that's impure. Are you listening to me? We can come to church and we can put it on. You know what this does? It just covers.
Yes, sir.
What's underneath? You say, what's underneath? A sinner.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Amen.
Oh, I look churchy, don't I? So do you.
Amen, preacher.
Some of you look like the Easter eggs you're going to hide in a little while. Crack you open, you smell like one too.
Yeah.
Well, it got quiet also. Y'all was happy a minute ago.
Amen.
What happened? The Bible said for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Amen.
If you ain't careful, you'll miss this morning. Simplest message you've heard all year. You're a sinner.
Yeah.
How dare you? And it wasn't me. Uh-uh. It was the Lord. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He said, there is none righteous, no, not one. Why don't you get real honest this morning, look at your neighbor and say, I'm a sinner.
Yeah.
Don't you be real honest this morning? Because that's what you are.
Amen.
You say, wait a minute now, preacher, I'm a member of the church. You a sinning church member.
Yeah.
Y'all all right? Well, I'm a deacon. You a sinning deacon.
Amen.
If you're a deacon, you're probably the biggest sinner in the place. Say amen, Brother Tommy. Well, some of you need to get a good bulldog grip on what you are. You've been lying to yourself too long. Amen. You've been excusing yourself too long. I'm okay. Are you really? I'm all right. Are you really? What you are is a sinner in need of a Savior. From the time I was 6 years old, Brother Freddie, till I was 19, that's what I did. Every invitation, every gospel message, I'm all right. I'm all right. I remember going through the baptistry. I remember they gave me the little two New Testament. It was 1972. Wrote my name in it. Brother Charles Williams signed it. I got a baptismal certificate. I remember that. I'm a member of the church. I'm okay. I told myself that lie for all those years. But early January the 1st, 2004. No, 1994. 84. Man, I'm getting old. 84, is that right? Help me. Five. Way back yonder. Back for electricity. Automobiles and TV. Way back in them old days, a black and white TV. On January 1st, it dawned on me. It dawned on me that I was a sinner. First time in my life I ever really saw myself in that condition. Did you know you can walk around with a tumor that's killing you in your body and not even know it? Doesn't change the fact you've got cancer. So one day you go to a doctor and he puts you under a machine that can see past this.
Yeah, that's good, preacher. Amen.
And look down on the inside.
Amen, preacher.
I look okay. I feel okay. There's something inside me that's killing me. And the doctor takes that x-ray and puts the light on it. You know what happened? It dawns on it. That's what it means. The lights came on.
Yes, brother.
Yes, sir.
Come on, preacher.
You say, there's no way I've got cancer.
Yes, sir.
There it is. You see this mass? This morning, I hope I'm the x-ray technician. I hope I'm the doctor. And we're sticking your soul up on the thing you view the x-ray through. And we're cutting the light on this morning that we might see ourselves as we really are.
Amen.
Sinners who need a Savior.
Amen.
Why do we need a Savior? Because the Bible said the wages, if we're sinners, said the wages of sin is death.
Amen.
That's hell in the grave, friend. Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Just sure y'all raise, everybody in this place raise their hands and said, I believe in heaven. Heaven has its opposite. That's a place called hell. And Jesus said in John chapter 14, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. We are sinners in need of a Savior. That's why he died.
Amen.
And he is a Savior, by the way, who happens to love sinners. How about that? Isn't that perfect? Amen. Have you ever been to a yard sale or somewhere and found something you thought, oh, that's just what I've been looking for? Well, he's just what you've been looking for.
Yeah.
You've been looking for peace. You've been looking for joy. You've been looking for happiness. Bam, there he is.
Yes,
all wrapped up in one. Everything you ever needed. Why? Because he is a Savior who loves sinners.
Amen.
The Bible said, for God so loved the world. The Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friend. Listen, some of y'all too saved for your own good. You know who Jesus hung out with when he was here? It wasn't that churchy crowd. Y'all all right? He hung out with sinners. That was one of the things they even used to accuse him. You know what they called him? They said he's a friend of publicans and sinners. Why? Judas kissed him on the cheek and sold him for 30 pieces of silver. You know what he called him? Friend. Wow. You've got a friend in Jesus this morning. Friend. Are we okay this morning? You're a sinner in need of a Savior, but there's a Savior who loves sinners. Amen. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. You say, you don't know what I've done last night. I don't care what you've done last night. You don't know where I've been. I don't care where you've been. I'm more concerned about where you're going. I'm not concerned this morning, and neither is he, about what is behind you. I'm concerned about what is ahead of you this morning. Not worried about your past. You know what he did? I don't care what he did. But I'm worried about what he's going to do. I don't know where she's been, but I'd sure like to know where she's going. Amen. Miss Becky, Miss Stacy's aunt, she's just fresh on my mind. That's why I keep mentioning her. We just buried her 3 weeks ago. She laid in the hospital, Jason, and I stood there and talked to her, and she barely knew me, but she talked to me like I was one of her children. She sat there and she told laying in that bed, dying. She said, "Brother Eddie, I'm going to go home tonight." So what's Toby? Stacy said, "Tell Brother Eddie who's been visiting with you." I said, "Who's been visiting with you, Miss Becky?" She said, "Jesus." Woo. Now, that's pretty good company. She told me about when she got saved. We gathered around that little frail body that she lived in over yonder in Marietta, Cobb County, wherever we was at, South Cobb Drive. We gathered around that little body. We sung some songs. We didn't talk about where she was. We didn't talk about where she had been. We talked about where she was. Amen. We're not worried about your past. "Well, I don't know if I fit in that church." Oh, yeah. If you wicked, make yourself at home. Y'all all right? Y'all ain't used to this much honesty in the pulpit, are you? Be honest with you, a lot of preachers out there, they're just liars, man. Get in the pulpit and Joel Osteen tell you how good you are. And people pay him to do it. There ain't nothing good about you unless Christ is in your heart. It's Easter, preacher. Be easy. No, I want you to know truth. Well, if you preach to me like that, I'm not coming back. Well, we just want to load you up good while you're here. Amen. We're all sinners in need of a Savior, but we have a Savior who loves sinners. I'm not preaching to you like this because I don't like you. I'm preaching to you like this because I love you. Listen, now watch this. I'm going to put myself right where you are. I'm grouping us all in one basket. Not the rich, the poor, the educated, the uneducated, the black, the white, the Chinese, the Indian. No. All of us right here. Amen. Sinner. What's your background? Where are you from? I'm a sinner. Yes, sir. But I found a Savior who loved me. Amen. Amen. I found a Savior who loved me. And He proved His love for me at Calvary. Yes, you know what He said? First thing out of His mouth. We may talk about it a little bit tonight. I hope you'll come back. I know you got eggs and all that good stuff, but I hope you'll come back tonight. Nailed at the cross. Suffering, bleeding, dying. His guts, Brother Freddie, are hanging from His side. You can see His insides. He's about to speak. What's He going to say? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I'm telling you, friend, this morning, Jesus loves you. He's not concerned about where you've been, but He died to secure where you're going. We're sinners in need of a Savior. We have a Savior who loves sinners, but do you know to love me is not enough? We serve a Savior who not only loves sinners, but He saves sinners. Amen. You know what He said? What are you doing here? He said, "I came to seek and to save that which was lost." That's why He hung out with publicans and sinners. That's the crowd He died for. Amen. You see, you can't get somebody to get saved who don't realize they're a sinner. I like that crowd who knows what they are. Yeah. Amen. I like that guy when you knock on his door and say, "Sir, if you died today, would heaven be your home?" They say, "No, I'm going to hell if I don't change my way." I like to talk to that guy. I like to talk to that guy who's real enough to be honest about who he is and what he is. For the first time in my life, Brother Jason, in your front yard, you was just a little boy. Little squirt. I could have whooped you back then. I ain't fooling with you now. For the first time in my life, I was honest about who I was. And I told it to Jesus. I remember the words came out of my mouth. I said, "Lord, I'm a sinner." And something in my heart said, "Not no more, you ain't. I'm changing your name, son, from sinner to saint." Somebody ought to get happy with me. We could have church this morning if it would dawn on you. And He's alive. Has it dawned on you? Let's stand to our feet. Brother Todd, y'all come. I told you, simple thought this morning. Has it dawned on you? While they're coming to the piano and getting ready to sing, I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. I know it's Easter and you have plans. I don't want to infringe on that. But I want to care enough about you to give you an opportunity this morning to do something with what you've heard. It would be a shame to tell you what you are. It'd be a shame to tell you who He is and what He can do for you and not give you an opportunity to act on it. If we could, let's just bow our heads together. Nobody looking around. I tell you, there's something far greater than a prize egg you could find today. And that's eternal salvation. And the good thing about it, it's not hid. It's right out in the open. All you got to do is come get it. I wonder if there's somebody here that say, "Preacher, it dawned on me today. It's dawned on me that I need Christ in my heart. If I died right now, I can't promise you that heaven would be my home. I'd like to pray for you. I wouldn't come to you. I wouldn't embarrass you. I wouldn't call you out publicly for nothing. I just want to pray for you if you'd slip up your hand." Anybody? "Preacher, I don't want to die and go to hell." God bless you, ma'am. "I don't want to die and go to hell. If I can get this settled," God bless you, son. God bless you, sir. "Preacher, pray I get this thing settled in my heart." Anybody else? It's dawned on me this morning. God bless you, ma'am. Please pray. "I'd like to be able to go to my grandmother's house or my family's house today, wherever we're going to meet and celebrate Easter or whatever it is we got to do. I'd love to be able to go there and say, 'Hey, by the way, I just got saved this morning.' If I die and they have to bury me, don't y'all worry, I'll be in heaven. I know that now for a fact." Well, preacher, I'd like to be able to tell my family that. Pray for me. Anybody else? We're going to pray. How about this? "Preacher, I'm saved. I know I am. Ain't no doubt. Ain't no doubt. I'm going to heaven when I die. But it just dawned on me afresh that He's alive. And I need to get where I ought to be with Him. Get serious about living for Him and serving Him. Pray for me, preacher." Hands all over this building. Father, as we come to You this morning, Lord, we thank You, Father, that we know in our hearts. God, I don't need a scientist to tell me that a body never decayed in that tomb. Lord, that doesn't mean nothing to me. Lord, I have the faith in my heart. And Lord, I have Your presence that lets me know every day that You're alive. Not one shred of doubt. Lord, I thank You for that. Lord, I'm glad we serve a risen Savior. Now, Lord, there's some here this morning that it's just began to dawn on them. Their knowledge of their condition, their need of a Savior. Now, Lord, You saw their hands. And Lord, You know their hearts. I pray they'd come to know You before it's too late. Lord, don't let this opportunity pass them by. Father, draw them. You said, "If I be lifted up, I draw all men unto Me." Lord, I tried this morning. I know I'm not the best in the world. Lord, maybe closer to the worst. But Lord, I tried to magnify You and lift You up. Now, Lord, please have Your Spirit to draw a poor lost sinner to You. Let them leave different than when they came, saved, washed in the blood. Father, please, we'll thank You and we'll praise You. We'll give You glory for what You do, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.